Amen. I happen to really, 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 really like my Heavenly Father. I mean, just, I think He is the most awesome. He is beyond awesome. Amen. And to just know Him is just mind-blowing. But what even blows my mind more than that is He knows me. He knows who I am. Now, that's the real deal right there. Amen. I know the name of people that I've never met. I know them. They don't know me. If I met them, they wouldn't know who I am. But I know my Heavenly Father, and He knows me intimately. He knows everything about my life and your life. He knows everything going on, and He is interested in what's going on. Amen. Praise God. I'm so glad that when I talk to God, He's not distracted and unconcerned. But He is so awesome and so big that He can spend intimate time with millions of people at the same time, listening to them, talking to them, and no matter where we go around the world, He cares and He's interested and He's right there. Praise God. What a blessing. Science says that we need at least four basic elements to survive: water, air, food, and light. And look what the Bible tells us about Jesus. I am the source of living water. I am the breath of life. I am the bread of life. And I am the light of the world. Amen. Jesus represented every need that we have. He said, that's what I am. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. I don't know what scientists said that, but it's good. It makes sense. Praise God. I believe we're living in a day where we're going to see some tremendous, tremendous things. We're certainly got a lot of pressures, a lot of things that are, unsettled. But there's a lot of things that aren't unsettled. You know, not very long ago, I began to say that I felt like God was telling me that the gospel would be preached again in Pyongyang, North Korea, because that's where the power of God was poured out on the Korean Peninsula, is right in the capital city of North Korea. And lately, there's been a lot of things happening in that. There's been a lot of things, and we're just praying that that process would continue, that barrier fall down, that there are thousands and thousands of missionaries in North Korea and China just ready to go into North Korea and win the lost and help people and bring them back up out of poverty and out of, there's thousands. But, what a lot of people don't realize is the dictator of North Korea right now, Kim Jong-un, however you say that, his great-great-grandfather was one of the Pentecostal pioneers of the move of God in the Korean Peninsula. His great-great-grandfather was one of the ones that brought the move of God to Korea. And when the Japanese killed him, the family began to move toward communism and begin to be seduced by communism. But he's got a bloodline. He's got things in his past that sets him up to actually break down the barriers and bring the gospel back. Amen. Praise God. So we're praying that process continue and that peninsula is reunited and that we see the glory of the Lord on that in the North Korean part of that peninsula. I got this this week from a dear friend of mine, an elderly pastor of many years that has pastored in New York, the state of New York, and have just had a tremendous move of God in New York for years, and has recently moved back to north of Springfield. I got connected with him, and for whatever reason, he just adopted me. And just took up with me. I've never had that happen before, but he just, he calls me, he prays for me. And this week, he's been calling me almost every day, saying, I am so burdened for you, and I'm just praying for you. He's had a stroke. He's had a heart attack. He has a hard time functioning. And but yet, you know, he doesn't have a hard time with his relationship with God. And God has actually brought him back. He's actually doing speaking again and ministering again. And he's in his 80s, I think, early 80s. And but he called me this week, kept saying, God's just been, I've had you on my heart, and I've just been praying for you. He said, every night at midnight, he said, about midnight, I pray for you every night about midnight. And I, you know, I thank him for it. But he sent this to me the other day. He said God gave him this word for us. It says, the type of ministers God's going to have in this hour. Then in parentheses has my name. They will embarrass the adversary. They will frustrate the enemy. They will drive back the opposition, move the mountains, do the impossible, see the unseeable, hear the inaudible. Hell is defeated. Man is redeemed and blessing procured. Healings belong to you. Prosperity is the order of the day. Now, this is a word that God specifically gave him for this church. Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. 1 Thessalonians 2, 18 says, Satan hindered us. The Greek word hinder means a copto, a runner who has been elbowed in a race out of the way by another runner, or breaking up a road, making it impossible for other travelers, making it delayed, hindered, or temporarily put off. But be assured that God's got a way to get the job done without Satan stopping you from doing it. Even Paul admitted that sometimes he was hindered, but the scripture leaves the connotation that even though the road would hinder, delay, or postpone you, God has a smoother way and a better road to get you to where he promised you. Also, they asked John the Baptist, what do you say about yourself? He responded, I only say what God says about me. And no devil, no trouble, and no circumstance, and no man can stop me from doing what God told me to do. Paul was hindered and discouraged because he had to tell the church that Satan had hindered him from doing some things, but he also said, no man or devil will stop or delay me because I've come to do the will of God. No person or devil was going to elbow him out of the way because he was saying what God said. Amen. What a encouragement, amen, to hear, you know, even though we've been delayed, God's got a way of making this happen. God's got a way of bringing us through. And that was really encouraging to hear that, because, you know, I haven't shared anything with him. He tells me he's praying for me. I say, well, thank you. You know, that's all I don't say, oh, I thank you because of this or because of that. I just always say, thank you, man. I just really appreciate that. And the other day he called me. He said he was going to send this word to him, and he said, Pastor Snyder, he said, I don't connect to very many people. But he said, I just want you to know I really love you. And I thought, wow, you know, I've never had this type of thing, you know, from a elder minister like that type of relationship. And for to have somebody, it's just like he's no longer passing church, but it's like God has just assigned him to me and to this church. And he's praying for us constantly. Amen. I mean, this guy in his day has seen more miracles than we could ever count. And seen God raise the dead and several times. And one time he was preaching and a man came forward and said, I don't feel very good. And he started praying for him and the man fell down dead, just died right there in the church. And so he told his wife, go call the paramedics. He said, we're going to keep praying for him. The paramedics come in, checked him, and said, he's dead. And he said, I know it. Just be quiet. Don't say it out loud. He said, I know he's dead. And so they kept praying for him. Finally, the paramedics loaded the guy up and was taking him out of the church, stone cold dead. And as they was taking him out of church, he said, I was standing there in the front of the church thinking, God, I guess I'll be flipping burgers at McDonald's next week because, you know, here I preach the miracles of God and they're taking a dead man out of my church. And he said he had his big toe was sticking out from under that sheet. They'd covered him up with a sheet. He said, I watched him taking him up that aisle. I saw that big toe sticking out from under that sheet. And he said, for whatever reason, I took off running up that aisle, grabbed his big toe, and commanded him to get up. And he said, he sat straight up and said, hallelujah, Pastor. He said, I just grabbed that big toe and commanded him to get up. And he said, he sat straight up and said, hallelujah, Pastor. like there was just a pause, you know. He just had a pause. And he's seen stuff like that all of his life. And he's encouraging us. And God's talking to him about this church. So praise God for that. Hallelujah. He is amazing. God is amazing. Amen. So is Brother Finn. That's his name, Brother Jim Finn. And there's been times I've drove up there. It's quite a ways the other side of Springfield. But I've drove up there, and there have been times that I've sat there for 4 hours on his bed listening to him teach and just teaching me, you know, just talking. And it's like an hour hasn't even passed, you know, just listening to him. It's amazing. I like that. Amen. I like it when people have revelation like that. It just holds you spellbound. Want us to, we started talking last Sunday about courageous faith, being courageous and being confident and courageous. I want to continue that this morning. There is a courage that God has given us, and I believe is being rebirthed in the family of God, in the children of God, that courage that helps us to step forward instead of stepping back, helps us to stand up instead of sitting down, helps us to move forward with God and unashamed instead of being timid. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, it says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind or disciplined mind. Praise God. Paul was talking to Timothy because Timothy had been shaken by Paul's arrest and by the persecution that's coming on the body of Christ, the things that we're facing. And so Paul's writing to him and saying, look, I know what's in you. I know the faith that has both been imparted and taught to you. It's one thing to have a gift imparted to you. It's another thing to develop that gift, to teach that gift. Amen. A lot of us have had gifts given to us. God has given us gifts, and we've never put time and effort into activating those gifts. A lot of it's just fear. You know, we're afraid to move out. We're afraid to step forward. Some of it is false humility. False humility that has been taught that we're afraid to bring attention to ourselves. And anytime you step out in a gift and say something, then it's going to bring attention to you. Humility is not wanting to bring attention to you. Humility is having attention and it not mattering to you. Because anytime you step forward and do something for God, you're going to get attention. It's the need of attention that gives us problems. Amen. It's the need of recognition that causes problems. It's the need of feeling special that causes problems. And when we allow Jesus to fulfill that in our hearts, then he will help you get rid of both the fear and the false humility that is holding you back. Amen. God wants to put you in the middle of everything and draw all kinds of attention to you because you're carrying Him. And how can He present Him if He can't get you to represent? Come on, somebody. Amen. Praise God. A lot of people think that preachers get up and preach because they have a big ego and need to be fed. Most preachers have to force themselves into it and don't really enjoy it that much, but because they don't, because of the anyway, we're not going to get into that. But once you get to the place where you just let God give you what He's got and you just let that happen, none of that ever matters anymore. Amen. It don't matter if I'm standing before five people or if I'm standing before 5,000 people. It just doesn't matter because I just simply let what's in me come out. Amen. And that's what it's all about. It's not about us. Did you know that healings and miracles is not about you manifesting something? Healings and miracles about God manifesting Himself and just simply using you as an instrument. Amen. One of the reasons we have a hard time with it is because we're afraid we can't do this. What if I can't do this? Well, you can't. It's impossible. But Paul was talking to Timothy and saying, look, what is in you is what's important. There's a gift of genuine faith that was in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. Now, I want you to stop and think for a minute and realize that Timothy grew up in a fatherless home. He had no father because Paul did not mention his father or his grandfather, only his grandmother and his mother, and they had a genuine faith. And then all of a sudden, God met a need in Timothy's life by connecting Paul to him, and all of a sudden, Paul became his spiritual father, and he come along and activated that faith in him that had been passed down, and now he is beginning to move forward, and he's got support, and he's got encouragement, and he's got a wholeness in his life now, and yet he's feeling timid. He's feeling insecure. He's having a hard time getting himself to step out into this arena. And Paul said, Timothy, God did not give you that spirit of fear. That's not of God. But the spirit God gave you is a spirit of power. Power is demonstration. How do you know there's something is powerful if you don't see a demonstration of it? Amen. So he's giving you a spirit of power or demonstration. He's given you a spirit of love, which is acceptance, the ability to love, the ability to accept, the ability to respect, the ability to appreciate. He's given you that ability inside of you that'll overcome all this other stuff. And then he said something that is very important for our day. All this is important, but something very important for our day. That he's given you the ability to have a sound, disciplined mind. Do we not need that today? We need a sound, disciplined mind. People's minds are running away with them today. And as I said earlier, confusion has so gripped people's lives that they have a hard time just functioning in everyday life. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they are. They don't know where they belong. They don't feel like they belong. They're afraid of everybody. They're afraid of this. They're afraid of that. We've got more fears than, I mean, there are so many names now. Psychiatrists just stay busy trying to put a name on the fears that people have. Phobias. So many phobias. You know, I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid, you know, I'm afraid of, you know, I heard one girl, matter of fact, she put it on Facebook. She said, I'm afraid when I see men with black socks on, it upsets me. Woo. Of course, you take your socks off, and then somebody else will say, I'm afraid of men that don't wear socks. So what do? See, we're so bound up by our phobias and the fact that we can't establish our mind on things that matter. What is it that matters? When you use your phobia as an excuse, it becomes a power over your life. But when you refuse to give yourself an excuse, then you become powerful over it. Whatever you don't use as an excuse, you will conquer. Come on, somebody. Get on board with me. I'm going to preach it anyway. When we say, I'm afraid of that, then we use it as an excuse. You know, I've got phobias. Everybody has phobias. One of my greatest phobias is tight places and tight things. You know, I feel like I'm going to flip out. If I wear clothes that cling to me, you know, when I'm trying to work or something and they hang on to me, woo, it gets bad. I mean, I feel like I'm going to flip out. I want to just rip them all to pieces. I can't stand it. And when I'm in tight places, you know, I don't like tight places, you know. I like, you know, when I'm around people, I want to do this. You know? I don't like being squeezed in. And yet, God gives me the ability to travel for hour after hour after hour on tight airplanes, crammed into tight airplanes. He gives me the ability to cram into small vehicles in foreign countries with the people sitting all over me. And so crammed in that a lot of times I'm literally sitting like this, got people sitting on my lap, I mean, you know, closed in, and I'm able to be okay with that. Why? Because I have a spirit inside of me that is able to give me the power of a sound, disciplined mind. And my mind doesn't have to freak out if the Holy Spirit's in control of my mind. Amen. See, when our minds freak out is when our minds don't have a foundation or a power that is holding it in control, that's holding it in stable ground. When your brain starts running wild on things that have no foundation, that's when things get bad. When we start thinking about things that's going to happen tomorrow, your brain will absolutely run crazy because you have no proof of what's going to happen tomorrow. Literally, your brain will just take off, and next thing you know, you are building scenarios that are never going to happen, never come to pass, but by the time you get to tomorrow, it's truth in your heart. And you act on the truth and cause your own problems, and nobody else understands why you're causing problems because they wasn't part of your imagination. They didn't read the script. You need to write a script for everybody. Okay, this is what you're supposed to say. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what's supposed to happen. And you know, you got to write a script. And when we do that, then we don't have a sound, disciplined mind, and we just run crazy with stuff. And that's where the Word of God is so powerful. It gives us a foundation. It gives us a foundation to build our thinking process on, to build our thoughts on, to function by when everything around us is coming apart, when our lives are coming apart. You don't have to come apart. Amen. Praise God. People are running today. They're running away from everything. They're running away from their fears. They're running away from people. They're running away from what could be. They're running away from things that have been built up and aren't even true. My goodness, it's amazing to me how people are believing lies anymore and acting on those lies. I mean, they give their life to it, you know? The devil wants to control you. And he's not going to appear as a scary entity that says, boo. No, he's going to buddy up to you. He's going to start talking. He's going to start reasoning with you and trying to get you to think a certain way. And he's going to poison your thinking. And next thing you know, you're doing his work for him. He's not even having to try. We self-defeat. We self-destruct. Amen. Amen. But Paul's telling Timothy, you don't have to do that. You don't have to have that. Amen. Did you know anxiety will not kill you? Even if you feel like you're going to die, it's not going to kill you. Did you realize that it is massive amounts of adrenaline that is making you feel weird and out of control? Your body is injecting massive amounts of adrenaline into your bloodstream, and that's why your heart starts pounding. That's why you can't breathe. That's why you feel weird in your head. That's why you can't connect. The best thing you can do is just drop down and start doing push-ups. You say, well, that's silly. You know what the hardest thing is to do to get somebody that's having a panic attack? You know what the hardest thing is to get them to do is to activate their body. Why? Because their brain is in charge. Their brain is flipping out and is in charge. But if you can just get them to start doing something, then it'll start subsiding because you start burning off the adrenaline that's been pumped into your body. Come on, somebody. You say, you don't know what you're talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I have got up in the middle of the night, rolled out of bed, and done push-ups on the floor because I woke up having a panic attack, feeling out of control, feeling like everything was out of control, couldn't breathe. And you say, well, that's where you need to rest, or you need to calm down. No, no, no. You need to burn up what's being pumped into you. Run in place. You know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all is afraid if you start running, you might not quit until you get to California. I mean, that's how you feel. You feel like you're just going to explode. All of that's up here. All of that's in your brain. Come on, somebody. It's not real. You're not having a heart attack. You're not sick. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not going to just freak out. Most of the time, the things, panic attack, why am I on this? The power of panic attacks is the fear of panic attacks. It's not the actual attack, it's the fear of having one that activates the whole thing. And when the whole process starts, next thing you know, you're playing the role. You get right into it, you know? And the whole thing starts. You can't hear as good, you can't see as good, your brain feels weird, you feel like you're going to pass out, you feel like you can't breathe, you feel like your heart's going to beat out of your chest, you feel weak, like, I can't make it. And all of that is because of chemicals that has been activated by fears in your brain. So if you would do just exactly opposite of what that anxiety is trying to tell you to do, you would break its power. You say, Pastor, I know exactly what I'm talking about. Even there was a time, remember, several years ago, I went through all these seizures and all this kind of stuff and messed me up, and I come out of that addicted to drugs and had to come off of those drugs, and after you know, because they pumped me plumb full of stuff in the hospital. And so I had to come down off of those. They backed me down week after week, you know, backed me down off of them. They would have wrote me prescription. I could have been on drugs to this day. And I told them I didn't want it. I wanted to recover. I wanted to get better. They backed me down off of that. Matter of fact, the drugs wasn't stopping the seizures anyway. They were making it where I didn't realize I was having a seizure, but they wasn't stopping it. You understand what I'm talking about? So I said, well, you know, if that's the way it is, let's do it. You know? If this is going to happen, let's do a good job at it. That's my attitude. And there was times after I finally got to where I could come back to church, and after I finally got to where I could preach, there was times I would be standing right here before service, and I wouldn't be able to breathe. I felt like I was suffocating. My heart was beating out of my chest. I felt like I was going to pass out. I mean, I would just get weird, and I'd feel like I was going to pass out. And right before time for me to walk to the pulpit and preach, and there's a lot of times I walked to this pulpit and got up here and wouldn't even be able to see. I would be totally blind, and I could hear myself talking way off in the distance. I mean, I was this close to hitting the floor. But you know why I walked up here? because there ain't nothing going to hold me there. That's not my prison. And I would tell myself, every time that happened, I would tell myself, look, buddy, if you're going to freak out, you better do a good job of it. If you're going to pass out, then hit the floor and get it over with, because I'm going to get back up and I'm going to get right back in there and I'm going to keep doing what I do, because you're not going to control me. And so that's how I fought it. And I refused to be a victim to things that were trying to control me through that lack of a sound mind. And because of that, I got a sound mind back. At least I believe I do. I mean, you know, real, all kidding aside, there was a long time there that I would actually ask Sister Betty, I'd say, am I okay, or do I just think I'm okay? I mean, literally, because I didn't know. It took me a while to get things healed up in my brain. But I came out of that, and the reason I came out of that is because I said, no, I don't want excuses. I don't want a reason that I can't do something. I want to know how to overcome it. I want to know how to get out of this. Amen. Praise God. And I fully recovered. I'm physically, every part of my being is completely recovered. Got my memory back. Why? Because I didn't want an excuse of why I couldn't do anything. If that spirit, it wasn't me, it was the Spirit of God inside of me. It was a faith, it was a power, spirit of love, spirit of sound mind. That's what brought me back. And I just continually had to come in agreement with that spirit instead of what I was feeling, what I was seeing, what was happening with me. I had to continually come in agreement with that spirit, and it caused me to be able to overcome. Amen. People often ask me, say, well, do you struggle with anxiety anymore? Every day. But you can't tell it. You know why you can't tell it? Because it is not my master. It never will be my master. I will never submit to it as my master. If you see me laying on the ground unable to breathe sometime, just walk over and help pick me up, because somehow I'm going to get back up. I'm going to get back up. And somehow I'm going to keep going. But you know what? That doesn't happen anymore, because every time you step forward, it steps back. Every time you take an extra step, every time you overcome it and put it down, it loses power over you. Every time you say, no, I'm not going to let you control me, and you go through the pain, the misery, the fear, whatever it is, of pushing yourself through that, it loses power over you. And before long, you find yourself being calm and confident in a chaotic, messed up world. Amen. Praise God. This is not my message, but it's somebody's message, okay? Somebody needs this today, and I'm just simply following what God wants us to hear today. We have the power of a sound, disciplined mind. God said, I've given you the spirit of a sound, disciplined mind. You know what I tell people all the time? They do not understand me. I wish I could somehow come up with a better definition. But when people are struggling with depression, when people are struggling with anxiety and all this kind of stuff, I tell them, I say, look, this is a principle that I learned that has helped me so much. Stop taking yourself so serious. So hard to teach that. Stop taking your thoughts so serious. Stop taking life so serious. It's not that hard. Come on, somebody. We got quiet in here now. when you take yourself so serious that you just, every thought and everything just dominates you, you're taking yourself way so serious. Do laughing practice. I know for a fact that I will never be without a reason to laugh because I will always be with me. I am hilarious. Why do we take ourselves so serious when you can laugh it off? I mean, stop being so offended and so careful. What if people think this? What if people think that? What if, you know, what about this? What about that? Get off of that. Just start. Can we just go back to having life? You're breathing, your heart's beating. You're alive. Can we just kind of enjoy that? Amen. It's really fun. You know? I'm not much of a jokester. I just laugh at myself. Now, JR is. Working around him, he keeps you laughing all the time. He's a comedian. I'm Mr. Serious. I just told Betty the other day, you know, sometimes people at work, especially young kids, they shy away from me. You know, the teenagers that work there and stuff, I notice them just kind of looking at me and going around me. I told Betty, I said, I finally figured it out. When I'm at work, I don't say anything. I'm really quiet. I just walk around doing my job, and you know, I look at them. Sometimes I'll say, hey. I told Betty, I said, I just realized the other day, I went a whole day without hardly saying anything. You know, I think I told you about the girl the other day that come in. I was working in a shop. She come in and she said, do I know you? You know, she's very unusual teenage girl. She was actually, you know, she wasn't afraid. And she come up, she said, do I know you? I said, I don't know. She said, do you work here? I said, yes. And she said, I've never seen you. And I said, well, I've worked here 15 years. She said, well, I worked here last year, and I don't remember you. I said, well, I was here. She said, you really fly under the radar, don't you? I said, yep. I said, most of the time I just do my work, and you won't hear nothing out of me. And I thought, well, no wonder people feel so uncomfortable because, I mean, how would you feel if somebody was there every day but all they did was this? You know, just look at you. I thought, man, I got to start smiling or saying hi or something. No wonder these people feel so uncomfortable. You know, if I do say something, a lot of times it's just cut to the chase and here it is and let's go. So, spirit of fear, anxiety, feeling like you don't belong. All of these things are mental gymnastics that the devil's trying to get you to play when you don't have to play them. You can decide what your life is going to be like. Amen. I decided what my life was going to be like. And I come in agreement with what God said my life was going to be like. I am not going to get to any of this message. It was really good. But for whatever reason, God wanted me to hit this again. Because you need to get a hold of this. Sound mind. We are living in a day where people cannot control their thinking. They don't have the ability to discipline their mind, discipline what they think. And because of that, we have all these phobias. We have all these fears and phobias, and we have all these controlling issues. And we're not being taught to push through them. We're being taught that they are our excuse. Back when we run buses all the time, I had this one little girl on the bus I picked up. And we got back on the bus after church. I loaded everybody up. We had several buses running. And I had to drive a bus every night because, you know, a driver wouldn't show up or whatever. We had problems. And so I worked on the buses during the day repairing them. I drove the buses at night. I preached the Wednesday night service. I'd, you know, done all that stuff. So I was always just running, just kind of, you know, trying to keep up with it. And Wednesdays for me, I would start early in the morning on Wednesday, and I wouldn't get finished till after 11 o'clock every Wednesday night. Time I got the bus back, and we had other bus drivers, and so a lot of times I was not real gracious with kids that wouldn't mind. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I have a way of speaking that says, I'm not asking you a question. And so we get on the bus. I'm trying to load everybody up. We get on the bus, and this one young girl, she's probably 11, 12 years old, she just comes from together. I mean, just starts having this screaming fit, mad, you know, at somebody on the bus, just coming from together. I was getting ready to take off. I shut the bus off. I walked back there, and I leaned right down in her face, and I said, you're going to control yourself. And she screamed back at me. She said, I can't control myself. I said, who told you that? She said, my therapist told me that. I said, your therapist? You have a therapist? She said, yes. And she told me that I do not have the ability to control myself. I said, I'm going to give you the ability to control yourself. I said, do you understand that? She said, no. I said, well, believe it. I'm giving you right now the ability to control yourself, because if you don't control yourself, I'm going to call your mom. I'm going to make her drive all the way up here and pick you up, and then you're going to have to explain why that you couldn't behave on the bus. And she said, my mom can't come and pick me up. I said, great, I'm calling 911, and I'm going to turn you over to the authorities. I said, how's that? I bet you can control yourself then. And she said, I can't control myself. I said, you are controlling yourself right now, and there's no question about it. Either you're going to control yourself, or I'm putting you off this bus, and we're going to hold you here until either the police show up or your mom shows up. So I said, you've got a choice to make, and it's your decision, not mine. What are you going to do? She crossed her arms like this. She said, I guess I'll control myself. I said, I guess you will. I said, you need to understand that you have no option here. It's been removed. And she sat there the whole time, and some other kids, I was watching her in the rearview mirror, some other kids started picking on her. She hollered at him. She said, leave me alone. I'm controlling myself. We got all the way to her house without any more problems. She got up to get off the bus. She comes stomping up the aisle to get off the bus. I didn't open the door. She turned around and looked at me, real startled because I didn't open the door. I said, I'm proud of you. I said, see, you just controlled yourself all the way home. And I said, whoever lied to you and told you that you don't have the ability to control yourself is destroying your life. Because I said, you just proved to me and to yourself that you can control yourself. Isn't it amazing what can happen when we simply have all the options taken away and we're faced with the fact that it's actually my decision? Wow. I'm going to choose what God does. I'm going to choose what God says about me. I'm going to choose the Spirit that gives me power, love, and a sound, disciplined mind. Because without it, I'm a basket case. Without it, I can't control my life. Without it, I have no abilities other than the abilities of the flesh. Amen. And I know what I'm talking about, because when I was growing up, I was so hyper. Teachers couldn't control me. They they would be so mad and exasperated every day with me. I couldn't figure out what's wrong with them. I really couldn't. I couldn't figure out why they was mad all the time, you know. But they were mad all the time. And I, you know, a lot of stuff happened that shouldn't have happened because they would just get so worked up and so just exasperated. And I was that way all the way through school. And until right before my senior year, I came to this church a whole lot of years ago. I accepted Christ as my Savior once and for all, gave Him my life right here, just before my senior year started. I started my senior year in high school, and I was going through the normal thing. You know, I was hyper. I would run. I didn't want to get to the next class, but I couldn't walk to the next class. I would run to the next class, and I would attack two or three guys on the way to the next class. Just, I'd be in wrestling matches. You know, I'd just tackle somebody, and we'd be wrestling and stuff. And it was like that all the time. That was my life. That's just how I felt. And then I would have to sit in a class, and I would break out in hives and whelps because I was having to sit still. And it was such a relief when the teacher would say, "Tim Snyder, you go to the office," because I got to get out of there. You know, and I knew, you know, I was in trouble, but whoo, it was a relief. It was worth it. And I remember one day after I gave my life to Jesus, running through the halls, just being my normal hyper self, and all of a sudden somebody said something to me that stopped it all. Here I am, just running, energy, nervous energy that I couldn't control. And all of a sudden, I heard this voice that said, "You don't have to be like this anymore." And I stopped right there in that hallway, and it was gone. I was able to walk. I was able to function. I was able to just simply be who God created me to be. And I no longer ran to classes. I no longer caused mayhem and havoc. Matter of fact, when I run into teachers that I had years ago and they find out that I'm a pastor, it's always the same response. Really? Why? Because there is a life-changing power that we receive when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Stand with me today. I'm like a hound dog on the hunt. When Holy Spirit begins to give me a direction, I go after it as fast and hard as I can go. And today, the Holy Spirit has been wanting us to understand that we do not have to be controlled by all the voices. We do not have to be controlled by all the phobias. We do not have to be controlled by all the vices. We can be free today. You can be free from that stuff. You don't have to be controlled by anger and the adrenaline that comes from anger. There are so many people today that are addicted to adrenaline because they listen to stuff. They're always working. They're always upset. And they're addicted to adrenaline, to the adrenaline rush. We don't have to be that way. We can be calm and confident. We can have the presence of God in us that changes our lives. Father, I just thank you today for your presence. I thank you, God, for your glory. And Lord, I know that you have spoken to lives today. And Lord, there are so many, there's a myriad of things that God, this message is speaking to. Lord, there's a plethora of problems that are being addressed just in this word, Father God. And I just ask you, Lord God, to simplify it for each person here, Lord God. Focus it in and help them to understand that they can be free. There is help for the situation that they're dealing with right now. God, the anxiety attacks, Lord God, I just declare today that they will no longer be the master of people's lives, Lord. I thank you for that. Lord, I declare that depression will no longer be the master of people's lives. Father, I praise you for that. God, for all the phobias and the fears and the self things, Lord God, the confusion about themselves. Father, I just thank you today that there is victory. And Lord, I thank you that victory is now. It's not just, Lord, it's beginning right now. Right now. Chains break. chains break in Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you today. Chains break in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just cut off the tentacles of delusion that is attached to people's brains today. We cut off the tentacles, Lord God, of these mind-confusing, manipulating things of the enemy. Lord, we just cut them off in Jesus' name. We just thank you, God, for victory in Jesus' name. I want you to do this with me. Say, Father, I give you my brain. I ask you to free it, heal it, and I thank you for a sound mind. Thank you for a disciplined mind. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just ask you right now. Lord, I thank you for freedom. God, and I pray for courage. God, I thank you for courage in people's lives to push through the things that hold them back, to push through the fears, to push through the things, Lord God, that are dominating their lives, Lord God. I just thank you for courage in people's lives to push through that hatred and that anger, Lord, to push through when they don't feel like they can love, Lord, to be able to push through that because you've given us a spirit of love. Thank you, Father. Lord, those that feel like they're just being piled upon, Lord God, and they feel powerless, Lord, I thank you for a spirit of power, Lord, that they can rise up, shake it off. Shake off the enemy in your power, Lord. It's not by might. It's not by the power of this flesh, but it's by your spirit today, Lord God. We just receive your spirit in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for your spirit. Lord, I know for a fact that if it wasn't for the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I wouldn't be healed today. I wouldn't be back. But Lord God, you healed me. Because that's who you are. Thank you, Father, for restoration, Lord. That's because that's who you are. God, I thank you for that. Thank you, Father. Lord, I give you praise today. Thank you, Lord. We're going to worship a few minutes today, and I just want you to meditate and just worship and just let God speak to you, because he's going to help you. Sometimes you're just one revelation. You're one revelation away from absolute healing or freedom. You just need that one revelation, that one thing. Let's just worship today and let God speak to you.